Because some journeys are better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
Stanley Beckett is my guest, author and consultant at Change Creator. Stanley, good evening to you, man. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. I'm really, really, really curious about what we're talking about this evening.
Evening over to you and all the listeners. Good to be speaking to you again.
So who you are is not who you are, but who you were. If you want to change your future, you need to let go of that person. Elaborate, Stanley.
Yeah, I like the way you introduced it, Aubrey, and you were absolutely right, is that you know my past, you know my love in astronomy. And I often say to people when I speak to them that, we don't often get the opportunity, especially living in the cities, to look up at the stars and just think of the wonder of the stars. And as you rightfully said, just to think that starlight that's reaching your eye now might have taken millions and millions of years to travel the distance that it took for you to be able to see it today. So if you look at the distance that star has to travel and you look at the time it took and you see that it actually took millions of years, it means that star could have died millions of years ago. But it also means that the way you're looking at that star right now, you're not looking at that star as it is, you're looking at the star as it was, as you said, millions of years ago. The same as even the closest star we have is the sun. That it takes the sun like something like 4.5 minutes to reach us. So it means we're not even seeing the sun as it is. We're seeing the sun as it was 4.5 minutes ago.
Yeah. I got the sense. That's where you were going. Just reading the, the caption to the conversation that you are talking about something akin to that, to the way that light moves through time and space, in order for us to be able to experience it as such. That when we see something, we are not seeing it as it is in that particular instance. We are seeing it as it was relative to the amount of time that light or the image has taken to arrive in our eye and for us to interpret it as whatever it is that we're seeing. And I'm interested to find out how that is connectable to our need to change certain things and success and goals and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I was going to actually say that, Aubrey, that that's probably the exact question that all the listeners are having right now and saying, okay, that's interesting enough, but what does that have to do with me? And I want to say that when I use this analogy, when I speak to people, then I say that in the same way, whenever I see people sitting in front of me, whenever I see people around me, I always look at them and I remind myself in the same way that you must remind yourself that light that's coming at you, even as it is, but as it was, that person that you see in front of you isn't who that person currently is, it's who that person was in the past. So in other words, all the decisions you've made in the past, all of the decisions you've made around your health, what are you going to eat McDonald's tonight, or are you going to eat a salad tonight? All the decisions you made around your money, should I be buying this thing, and I know it's going to get me into credit, but should I buy it or shouldn't I? All the decisions you made about your relationships, you know, should I go out with my friends drinking or spend time with my wife tonight? All of these things add up to who you are today. So standing in front of you, when you look in the mirror, if you go right now and look in the mirror, you're not looking at the person who is, you're looking at the person who was. So if we can understand that concept as a beginning concept to how to create change in the future, then we're on the right first step to understanding how we can understand that who we are today does not necessarily need to be who we're going to be in the future unless we choose it to be. So again, just to sum up, when you look in that mirror and you're looking at you in the past, all the decisions you've made in the past has led to that person you're looking at in the mirror today. Does that make sense?
Let me see if I understand you. Yeah. So as I am at the moment, let's talk about my weight, right? Let's talk about that specifically. And this principle can be true for your finances, for your relationships, for your general mindset to business or whatever the case may be, is the sum total of all of my training or learning experiences of the past. What you see now is all is a sum total of what I have come to know and the decisions and the choices I've come to make in the past. I, at the moment, am not a reflection of the future. I am a reflection of the past decisions, the past knowledges that I have accumulated, and the past behaviors, rather than the future. And that's why you then say that what you see now is not who you will be, but who you've been. And perhaps if you want to change, you've got to then leave the guy that you've been, who's produced what you are now, if you want to see yourself in a different way then, which is the future.
Yes, and I'm hoping that it makes sense to everybody.
No. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'm just hoping that it's going to make a lot of sense to our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to us right now, please give us a call and let us know if we make any sense. 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Cape Town, give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. Does it make sense what Stanley's saying, that you are the sum total of your past decisions, knowledges, behaviors, as you are now, not necessarily a reflection of your future? Stan, am I on the money?
Absolutely. So if you can, and you've nicely solidified step number one, because you need to understand step number one to be able to progress to understanding step number two. So the second step is at some stage in our lives, all of our lives, Aubrey, we stop focusing consciously on the decisions and the choices we make, and those things become habitual. And they say it usually happens for most people, like really solidifying most of those decisions we make in life by the age of 35. So before 35, you still got a bit of a chance to catch yourself solidifying these habits and habitual decisions you make. But by the age of 35, if you haven't caught those, then in all likelihood, those are going to be the same decisions you're going to end up making for the rest of your life. Okay, so that's the second step to remember. So the first one being, as we discussed, is the second one being that by the age of 35, you are now making those decisions that are deciding for you how your life is going to turn out habitually.
Sure. So the decisions that you make at the age of 35, which are often informed by the teachings that you have received up until then, are going to be the decisions that are going to determine the rest of your life, if I understand you correctly.
Yes. So in most instances, so by the age of 35, we are no longer, it's almost like you are no longer in control of the decision making. It's become so habitual that it becomes not impossible. So please don't misunderstand me. But but as you grow older from 35, it becomes more and more difficult to turn those habits around.
Mm. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. And I suppose by the time you're 35, you've crystallized many of the ideas in your mind, in your consciousness, that make you who you are. In order to change them, it's going to take a mammoth. I mean, it's going to take a gigantic task to change those mindsets, those very, very deeply set paradigms about life, about people, and so forth, by the time you're 35, Stanley, if indeed you want to change, right?
If indeed you want to, and yeah, that's a very good point, Aubrey, because I'm sure you see yourself, if a person doesn't want to change, then there's nothing that will change the person. So those first two steps are really important to understand. The first one being that the person you're seeing in the mirror today is not who you are, but who you were. The second one being that by the age, certain age, we've already solidified most of our habits. Then the third important step here to realize from this is that if you are going to, is that in the same way that you are the sum total of everything you've done in the past, if you are going to start changing, you can start doing that from this very moment. So in other words, you can start deciding from today that you are no longer going to be that person. So let's say, for example, you're a person that's always been struggling financially. You can start deciding today, I'm no longer going to be a person like, and you look at why you're struggling financially. You go, you know what? For me, for example, I'm struggling financially because I'm always making bad financial decisions. Then you can say, okay, well, that's not who I am anymore. That's who I was. I can start deciding from today. And the reason I was that way is because I started getting into the habit of making bad decisions. But I can start today to become aware of it and start deciding that from today, I'm no longer going to be that person. And then what you do is, I don't know if you remember those dangles people used to have, or be that said, what would Jesus do? So imagine having a bangle like that around your arm that says, what would a financially intelligent person do, for example? And then every time you make a decision, you say, but listen, I've now decided I'm no longer going to be that person that makes bad financial decisions. Mm. And when it comes to a decision, should I buy something I can't afford or not? So what would a financially intelligent person do? So that's what I'm saying. So if you wake up every day, but you're the same person, and this is unfortunately how most people are, Aubrey, is we wake up every morning and we're the same person every single day. We have the same routines. We look at the same things on our phone. We eat the same breakfast. We go to work the same way. We think the same thoughts. We have the same conversations. We're in the same circles. We do the same things. So in other words, we never give ourselves the opportunity to change because our awareness is no longer around that part of us because we've now become so habitual in what we do. And that's why we're saying important third step is to start understanding that doesn't have to be you anymore. The awareness gives you the ability to make a different choice tomorrow and to say, okay, from tomorrow, how would a person that's financially intelligent act? In other words, I'm no longer going to act like a person who keeps making bad decisions when it comes to my finances.
This person, Cheryl, says, Aubrey, I don't agree. When you lose a spouse and you are on your own, you start questioning, who am I? And you begin to change and evolve again, says Cheryl. Stanley, how do you respond to this?
Okay, so sorry, what is she saying? She's saying
that she doesn't agree that by the time you're 35, that you are basically set in your ways.
I get it. Thanks, Aubrey. No, that's a good point, and thank you so much for bringing that up. Remember, I said not everybody. I said most people by the age of 35 are set on their ways, unless, I'm sorry, I didn't add this part to it, and thank you so much for allowing me to understand that this I left this out. Unless sometimes what happens to many people over that age will be some dramatic event in their life that completely changes. So that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that if you look at the majority of people, they are sort of get to a certain stage of their life where they pretty much are stuck. They never seem to go ahead. They never seem to grow. They never really seem to advance in any big way in any of their life. And that's what I'm talking about. It's just a routine.
That's what I was going to say. I said I was going to say that unless something dramatic like the loss of your spouse or something that really shakes the foundations of that set pattern, generally people seem to stay the same.
Absolutely, very much so. It doesn't have to be something as dramatic as losing a spouse. It can be something for many people. The world has been, the whole world has been shook up in the last year or two because they suddenly lost their jobs. You know, I think it's something that you thought was gonna hold you until retirement, and you had your whole rest of your life planned, and suddenly something just cuts it short and says no. That changes your whole view of life. And that can, a dramatic change like that can have a very big effect on changing you and your personality as well. So yes, sometimes I believe, albeit on a spiritual level, that life gives us shake-ups like this in life, so that we, because there are changes that need to happen, because we get into our comfort zones. But that's a whole another topic we'll have one day. But for right now, to understand that the unfortunate part is that we're so unconscious that we wake up every day, we do the same thing, we go through the same routine, and then we think of, what did Einstein say? The greatest insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And then we wonder, why does nothing change in our life?
I want to take some calls on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Charlene is in Mitchell's Plain. Good evening to you, Charlene.
Hi, Aubrey. Hi, Stan. Listen, I was going to say the same thing about the traumatic experience.
Yeah.
Because I had my traumatic experience exactly at 35 when I had a car accident and I became blind. So my life, I had laid out for me what I was going to do, where I was going to go, what my children was going to do. So my whole life took a whole new turn. But I can tell it is true what Stan also says, is that, you know, circumstances make you change. Like, for example, this COVID thing. Mm. So now you work from home and you make it so comfortable for you and you try new things. So I am at an age where I think, what if I must lose my job tomorrow? So I'm already there. I'm being proactive. What can I do to make myself more useful in my life, to make things easier for me and also for the people around me so that I can move forward with a positive energy instead of just staying lagging behind and thinking, ah, you know, this is the situation. So I think that people should be very proactive in their thinking of, you know, stagnating in one situation and not trying to move on to something new, or maybe being scared of trying something new. Whereas if you do try it, it might just work or it will work.
Sure.
So we must take the good with the bad. And I think if something bad happens, good always comes from it.
Charlene,
if you just put your mind to it.
Charlene in Mitchell's Plain, thank you very much for that. Stan?
Oh, I love that call. And you know what? I was thinking, Charlene is such a wonderful example of what we're talking about. Is, look, it was an unfortunate, tragic thing that happened to her. She said at the age 35, right? And then she said she lost her sight. So that must have been extremely traumatic. And I think her whole view of who she was as a person had to change, right? She had to, she couldn't be in that lull of not thinking about who she was as a person. She had to really answer some really serious questions, and she had to decide and redecide who she was going to be as a person through this event. And if you can listen, if you had to listen to Aubrey, she has such an upbeat, energetic voice that you can hear she's a very positive person.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, she made the decision back then already to be the positive person, to be the person that's going to see the good in the bad. And that's why when everybody else around her is stressed and falling apart, she's already making a decision and saying, what's the next step? How am I going to handle it? That's what I'm saying. So she made a decision to be a different person, and that's who she is now. And she's a great example of not being controlled by her past anymore, but a great example of someone who can make a decision and say, this is who I'm going to be going forward. And that decision actually affects probably every single area of her life.
Who you are is not who you are, but who you were. If you want to change your future, you need to let go of that person. How do you let go of that person? If indeed there is no traumatic or dramatic event in your life. I mean, I think Cheryl, the one that sent me the WhatsApp message, is an example of true, but if there's a dramatic moment in your life, it has the ability then to change you. How do you create the dramatic moment in your life that is going to help you change the trajectory of your life for the kind of life that you're looking for, if it's not a dramatic and sometimes painful moment in your life? How do you get that so that you don't have the momentum of all that you've been overwhelm your aspirations, as it were, Stanley?
I think that's a great question, Aubrey. And, you know, to understand that, you need to understand the universal law. And a universal law is something that applies to all of us. Again, I'm going back to what we learn in astronomy, is that everything from the smallest atom to the biggest cluster of galaxies, everything is either in a state of creation or in a state of disintegration. So this seems to be a universal rule. If we study it and understand science and observe it, it means everything has to either be in one of those two states. You're either creating or you're disintegrating. So what I believe, Aubrey, is that we have a choice as humans. We can choose how we want to create. And if we don't choose, then sometimes life chooses for us.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is that, yes, some people will experience, sometimes life will choose for them and a dramatic event will happen in their life that will alter who they are. and that will be their experience. But other people can do it through another way and saying that maybe, as you were saying, you don't have to go through a dramatic experience. How you would do it otherwise is set goals for yourself. So in other words, that's the purpose of a goal, and that's what people don't realize why goals are so important, to have proper goals in life. It's because a goal helps you to grow in your awareness of what's possible, and it helps you to keep creating. So you learn what's possible, and you keep growing into what's possible. And then it's almost like you're doing the same thing, like you're always deciding and you're always changing who you are as a person. As your goals grow, you start deciding, I'm the person that's successful in this, and I'm a person that's good at this. So you're making those decisions as you grow. So yes, to answer your question, yes, it could be a traumatic experience, or you can choose it yourself by setting big goals that help you to grow.
0118830702, you looking to change the direction of your life? Is there a specific goal that you have that you would like to attain, but you are feeling overwhelmed by the momentum of your life thus far, right? Finding it hard to change. You've developed certain habits. You're the kind of guy that comes home, you sit in front of the TV, you eat something, and yes, you've got the desire for a different body, greater levels of energy, but you find that you're just overwhelmed by the momentum of your habits. How do you change? How do you do that? Stanley makes a very, very important point that says, as you are now, you are a reflection of all the things that have happened in the past, the knowledge that you've gained in the past, the habits that you've developed in the past. That's who you are right now. But perhaps it's possible that in a future, you can be exactly different based on the choices, the things that you learn now, such that we can then look at you at that point in your life and say, yes, you are indeed a product of your past, but that past is created by the changes you make now, suggests Stanley. Brian is in Cape Town. Brian, good evening to you.
Hi, Aubrey. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks, Brian. Go ahead.
Good. Unfortunately, I didn't get your guest's name.
His name is Stanley Beckett.
Stanley Beckett, okay. You and Stanley, you know something, you were talking about the age of 35. When I'm 52 now, okay? At the age of 35, I had everything. I had a fantastic motor car. I was living in a great place. Life was beautiful. There was parties every weekend. I had the most amazing friends. And things turned.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, overnight, things turned. Today, I am dead broke. And yeah. I mean it. I'm dead broke. I think, Aubrey, you and I have spoken before. We spoke about a month ago. Yeah. And I'm living on... on hope. I can't find a job, you know, a good job within a good company.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that I've written sales training manuals. I know how to sell. I know how to market.
Yeah.
I am motivated, but yet at the same time, I have this fear of sometimes I have this fear of leaving my house because I don't want to be seen in public because... I sit with this permanent pressure, and all I can think of is my past glories and how badly I need to get my life back on track. But
wow.
I couldn't even find a job. And, you know, it's hell out there.
Mm-hmm.
And inside my brain, I'm trying to think, you know something, I've read so many books on motivation. I love reading motivational books. Ken Blanchard is one of my favorite authors.
Yeah.
And I've read so much of him. And, you know, who moved my cheese.
Yes.
Is the situation I'm sitting in right now.
Yeah.
But how do you start where you haven't even got a cent in your pocket, where you know, you can't start? And so many of my mates have said to me, you know, you've got the brain power, you've got the skill, you've got the knowledge, you've got everything. The only thing I don't have is a job, and I would love to start my own business. I just don't know what. I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
I know that I need to earn money, but I don't know what to do as far as starting my own business and getting started. And I'm not the only one. There are millions of 52-year-olds out there, unemployed, have had the best of the best, have lost their house, lost their cars, lost everything and everyone.
Brian?
And
yeah, I want to give Stanley an opportunity to weigh in on your specific situation. If you don't mind listening on the radio?
Absolutely. I'm going to turn the radio back on now.
All right. Brian in Cape Town. Much appreciated. Stan? How do you respond to Brian's situation?
No, I want to say to Brian, I'm actually excited to hear Brian's call, or because I want Brian to get in touch with me. I'm not going to answer to you, the Brian. I'm going to bring Brian back on air in a month or two. Okay. And I think I'm going to let Brian represent a lot of people that are out there feeling frustrated like he is. But I can already see somewhere I can use Brian, and I want to actually introduce him to a group that I'm busy with, and then we'll bring Brian back. Okay. So, but to answer to most of the people, so I'm just going to tell Brian. I'll leave my details afterwards for Brian to get in contact with me. And then also for anybody else that also has some questions. But going back to the question, and people like Brian that are frustrated, although we don't have enough time in the show tonight to talk about it, and I think I will readdress this, because this is a question that comes around very often. But I'm going to say it's a very difficult thing to understand, because when you're in that situation, I don't know how to put it out there without it sounding strange to people, but if you remember a few months ago, we spoke about the different chakras and we spoke about the different energies in our body, and that many people have their energy stuck in the first three centers. In other words, they're in the stress state all the time. And then it's very difficult to see a way out of your circumstances when you're in that state. And that in the only way you can really change it is by changing that inside of you. So there's a lot that behind it to be able to change. But I would just say to them, the first step is just start becoming aware of the person that you no longer want to be. And if you say, I no longer want to be this person that's stressed, then that can help you at least start identifying then who is the person that I do want to be. And that, I think, would be a very good first step for tonight, and to realize you no longer have to be that person in the past. You can choose to be someone in the future. And the two things that I said tonight is to decide what is the opposite of you want to feel. And then the second thing to ask yourself every day, would the person that I want to become do this thing or make this decision or think this thought or feel this way?
It's amazing, Stan, how our past successes can contribute to the process that arrests our development in the future. So in other words, if I was a great athlete and I have an accident, I may never want to rise again because I'm afraid that I won't live up to what I used to be. Because the my past success looms so large that I believe, or I get myself to start thinking, that it is impossible for me either to reach that or surpass it. And sometimes I get to a place where I think that it's not success if it isn't akin to the success that I once enjoyed. But sometimes that can be the very thing that keeps you away from a different form of success, or a success that is higher than the success that you had before, but in a different way, because you had the success in the past. I remember somebody saying that sometimes the greatest enemy of excellence is good. That you were so good in the past that your mind doesn't even want to entertain the idea that you could be excellent, that you could go even further and higher. Could that be sometimes an issue?
I believe it could, Obi, and you know, even in a situation like that, if you take a look, how many movie stars, you can talk about movie stars, you can talk about athletes, you can talk about businessmen at the top of the game, they couldn't accept not being the person that they'd always been. That was their identity. And when they lost that, they first had to go into such a deep slumber. You know, you'll hear about movie stars going into drugs and going into all kinds of negative things to numb that pain. And you'll find that many of them will hit a very, very bottom, rock bottom. But when they hit that rock bottom, they emerge as a different person. They sort of, their identity gets changed. That's when they make a decision to be a different person. So yes, you can do it that way as well. But once again, that to me is a very negative way of doing it. And you don't have to experience that trauma in life.
Yeah.
Again, you can do it differently by making that decision to set goals that challenge you and that help you grow as a person all the time.
011-883-0702. Have you been limited by your past success? give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702-021-446-0567. Have you been afraid to stand up, try again, because your past success was so great that you don't believe that you can either match it or surpass it, or that you can enjoy a different form of success? That sometimes we get incarcerated by our former success. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Stan, I want to read you this message from this person. Says, Braobs, what if one is surrounded by negative adults around you, violent environment, unhappy in the house with family and relaxed in that bad or negative environment? How do you attract positivity alone from that situation? Asks this person.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and because a lot of people struggle with that, Aubrey. The only thing I can say at this stage is that there's obviously only so much a person can do, but one of the things you definitely can do, and one of the things I did when I found myself, and it wasn't with my family or anything like that, but when I found myself in extremely negative environments and circumstances like that, is I would download podcasts of people that really inspired me, and I would listen to them all the time. So the people like the Bob Proctors of the world, the Les Browns of the world, the Tony Robbins of the world, the people that really inspire me, that is the messages I would want to put inside my head. And you can find that if you do that effectively, you can very effectively negate that negative energy around you all the time. I'm not saying that that's the only solution, but I'm saying that that's one thing that that person definitely can do when they find themselves in an unfortunate situation like that.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. My guest is Stanley Beckett, author and consultant at Change Creator. He says, who you are is not who you are, but who you were. Huh? If you want to change your future, you need to let go of that person. How do I let go of that person? He is a part of my identity, Stanley. He's a part of my history. I am him and he is me. And how do I let go of that person?
Yeah, Aubrey, I laugh because it's such a loaded question, and it's in terms of length. What I will say is that there's a specific formula that that we work with in terms of changing that person. And at its simplest form, the formula says that you will start changing that aspect of yourself. In other words, you will start changing that person when your commitment to change is greater than your resistance to change. And
Whoa, say that again. Say that again. You will change.
So you will create change in that person or that aspect of your life, that personality trait that you want to change, whether it be in your money, your relationships, your health, your business, whatever it might be. You will create that change when your commitment to creating a change is greater than your resistance to creating that change.
So what you're saying to me is that sometimes we can get comfortable in the undesired environment. We can get comfortable. It's the devil we know. We're comfortable there. We don't like it, but we become so comfortable that the comfort, the relative comfort of our discomfort is what is preventing us from changing?
Yeah, look, and it's not obvious, Aubrey, because that's why we're saying your commitment. People are committed, you know, to change. Many times people will argue with you and they'll say they're committed. But what they don't understand is that wanting something dearly enough does not mean you're committed to it. And you need to understand that just because you are committed, just because you do want something, it's only the one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is the one that is really holding us back, and that is our resistance to that change. And that resistance is often internal. That resistance is often unconscious. And unless we can understand that that's the thing that's keeping us stuck, we're going to keep ourselves frustrated and not being able to understand why we're not moving ahead in some or other area of our life.
Give me a call if you have just had an epiphany, as Stanley says, that as I have just now, that sometimes even the things that we don't like become comfortable. They become manageable. We make friends with them. We know how to give them space, and we know how to live with them. That until we get to a place of such discomfort, such dissatisfaction, that we are willing to no longer stay in that comfort zone, even an uncomfortable comfort zone, yeah, that is the only time that change is going to come. Because Stanley, I realize in many conversations that I have that sometimes we get to a place where even an uncomfortable situation can be bearable to the point where you actually defend it. Does that make sense?
Yes, and even the uncomfortable situation, and I'll put it in the terminology of understanding why we struggle with change, is even the uncomfortable situation is less scary than the unknown.
Ah. And
the moment the uncomfortable situation is no longer less scary than the unknown, that's when we'll start creating that change and that move forward.
Somebody's asking, do you do one-on-one coaching sessions? Yes. Sorry, Stanley, I'm answering for you. But go ahead. This person is asking if you do one-on-one coaching sessions.
Yeah, look, that was the way I started my career. I love my main work is working with groups of people. But yes, if the need is there, then absolutely we do, yes.
This person says, touched by Brian's call, similar story, fallen from glory. And a good life, great career, got a great, very able mind, many great ideas, see many opportunities, but just haven't made the next leap yet. And it's taken me years. I need Stanley's help. And that's from Farai. So Farai, please stay tuned. And Stanley's going to give his contact details. This person says, good evening, Aubrey. Hope you are well. I liked what Stanley said about drug addicts who have hit rock bottom. I've seen through that road, and I can gladly say that experience has made me who I am today. I'm 2 years clean now, and I've found my purpose in life. And that's from Lesego in Soweto. Wow, Lesego, congratulations, man. Can I take one more call, Stan?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Angie in Soweto. Hey, Angie.
Yes, hi. Hi, bro.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
So good to hear your voice. Go ahead, Angie.
Yes, I felt the need to call in. I heard Brian speaking, and I called to sort of, I had Stanley invite him to join the group that he's with.
Yeah.
I just called to him to just let Brian know that I've been with Stanley on that group. I think Stanley, that's the group you're talking about, hopefully, that we've been on that group since last year. And the person that I was then, like, and the person that I am today, it's really, I don't even have the actual words to put it in like 30 seconds. But then again, the one main thing is that it's not going to be easy, like 1, 2, 3, you know, it's still going to be quite challenging, but it is possible for him to, I heard the passion in his voice. Hence, I'm saying I feel the need to call in, you know.
Angie, thank you very much. And I hope that Brian is listening, because I'm going to ask Stanley to give his contact details for the people that are wanting to have one-on-one sessions with him, but also perhaps for those that might want to join your group. Stan, your contact details for both sort of groups?
Okay, so anybody that wants to contact, I always say the easiest is go to our webpage, www.changecreatorsa. So not Change Creator, but changecreatorsa.com. So www.changecreatorsa.com. You will see at the bottom of the page, there will be a link to be able to get a free copy of my book, Liftoff. And if they just leave their details with a message of whatever message they want to leave, then I'll be able to get back to them. And I reply personally to all the emails there, Aubrey. All so right. www.changecreatorsa.com.
And this is for both people that are looking for one-on-one coaching sessions with you and those that might want to join the group.
Yes, and Aubrey, can I just end off exactly like you said? Can I just end off by letting you know I'm so happy because Angie is going for a final big interview for a job after more than a year on Friday. So we're wishing her all the best, and I'll let you know how it goes with her. Okay.
Oh, excellent stuff. That Angie, she's a star. Stanley Beckett, yes. Thank you very much for joining me, and I really appreciate your time. Looking forward to the next conversation next week.
Thank you, Aubrey, and excellent. Have a great week further.
Stanley Beckett, author and consultant at Change Creator SA.